So let me introduce our speaker. David Duke from Govan in Glasgow is the founder and chief executive of Street Soccer Scotland, a social enterprise that uses football to create positive change in the lives of socially disadvantaged adults and young people in Scotland. He's experienced homelessness and some of the problems that face the people his organisation serves, making him one of the best placed people to inspire, deliver and advise on social inclusion programmes that use sport as a vehicle for change. He's also a global ambassador for the Homeless World Cup organisation, a competition which he won as a coach of the Scotland team in 2007. And in 2018, he received an MBE in recognition of his contribution to sport and socially disadvantaged people. As you can tell, David is in a great place to reflect on the positive power of sport for society and how we should make the most of those opportunities. So I give you David Duke.
Thank you. So, yeah, where to start? I suppose before I say that, I run an organisation, Street Soccer Scotland, which uses football to tackle social exclusion. But I'll maybe give you the kind of story behind street soccer and how it came around, just to kind of put it into perspective in terms of the power of sport. So back in, I grew up in Glasgow in Govan, and sport was a big part of my life growing up. Playing football in the streets, playing for my school, playing for my local boys club, Harmony Row, etc. And it was always something that I looked forward to. But at home, things were difficult. You know, my father was an alcoholic, and as a result of his condition, it broke the family up. You know, my mum left when I was 13, which left me with a decision to stay with my mum or there. I stayed with my dad, and I chose my dad because I felt that he needed some sort of support, you know, and even though I was only 13, I felt that I was capable of providing that. But when you're that age, when you're 13, you know, and you're looking after someone who's got challenges with alcoholism, you know, it becomes very difficult to maintain some of the stuff that you expect to take for, children should take for granted, which is going to school, being part of a sports team. And as a result, I decided to kind of quit. I dropped out of school, you know, and as a result, I lost quite a lot of my kind of friendships and access to sport through school. And then your parents can't afford to kind of send you to the local boys club or the local sports club. Then everything becomes a challenge. So as a child, I experienced kind of exclusion as a result, you know, and as I moved into adulthood, my father passed away, which kind of came as a big shock to me. And at the time, I hadn't seen him for about a year. And then when he passed away, it took its toll on me, not in the first instance, but actually slowly but surely, I was starting to change my behaviours. You know, at the time I was working in a bar and I found myself going out every night drinking to try and mask the pain. My relationship with my girlfriend broke down, and I found myself homeless. And again, homelessness is something that you don't plan for, you don't expect, it's not part of your life, you don't really take it into consideration when you're a young guy. And my perception of homelessness was, this isn't me, you know, this is a guy sitting out in the street, or that kind of perception that a lot of people have, you know, and the stigma that I kind of felt becoming homeless, you know, because I remember avoiding people that I knew so that I didn't have to explain my situation. So I was isolating myself from safety and from people who could have probably helped, but because I was so embarrassed about my current situation, and I didn't want to ask for help. So I say, growing up, being in Glasgow at the time, so you're going back to what, 2001, you know, things were pretty drastic, you know. It was the old Glasgow City Council hostels, Bell Street, Cheapside Street, Broad Street. And I was this young kind of guy, just kind of not even 20, who was being sent around all these kind of hostels, you know. In fact, before that, I'd spent about a month just kind of sleeping here, there and everywhere, because I never actually knew where to go for help or how to access help. And then when getting into this kind of system, you know, where it was dangerous, where it was unsafe, I remember kind of being in places like Bell Street and Broad Street, where you were just kind of left to this little wee room and having nowhere to go, nowhere to be, and the only relationships you could build was with people who were potentially going to bring harm. Not because they were bad people, but just the, it was a building with 80 people who were all sick, you know, who all needed support, who all needed help, who all needed that kind of chance to kind of turn their life around. But when everyone comes together like that, then it doesn't work. You need to be able to take yourself out of that. And I just used to block myself away. You know, I'd try and scrape up enough money for a bottle of cider, and I'd just be sitting in a hostel room, just try to pass time till I went to sleep again. And then I went into a young person's project run by Quarriers in the West Coast. And this was like supported accommodation where you had a support worker. You know, you had your own kind of living space where you had your own cooking facilities and wash facilities, stuff that you never had at the big council run hostels. And I felt a bit safer, you know. But again, I woke up every day with nowhere to be, nothing to do, you know, and very little positive role models in my life. One day I seen a poster up in the project that was advertising a tournament, which the big issue we're running, and it was to find one of the first kind of homeless World Cup teams. And basically they were looking for players to come along. They ran a tournament, so all the different kind of hostels in Glasgow, the Talbot Association and so on, Salvation Army, we all entered this tournament. And from that, I was asked to train with the Scotland Homeless World Cup team, you know. And I remember at the time, even just going to the initial tournament for the trials type thing, I had to be dragged out because my confidence was so low. So actually just taking that step to kind of leave the hostel and go to a new place, meet new people, was actually quite a big ask because my confidence, my self-esteem was so low. Thankfully I went there, you know, and I met my coach, which was Ali Dawson, who was the ex-Rangers captain, and he had kind of showed a bit of faith in me and says, look, David, I want you to get involved. And so what I had then that day was a role model. So my coach became my role model because I had somebody to look up to, somebody I could ask questions, not just about football, but about life, you know, because remember, there's a lot of young people growing up who don't have those kind of positive role models, who don't have the people that they can just ask life questions about why does this happen to my body or why am I feeling like this. No, everyone's got that, and I had that in my coach. And then what I also had is the tournament, in which was in Gothenburg, was 3 months away. Suddenly I had some structure and something to look forward to. So on a Tuesday and a Thursday, I knew I had to be down at Glasgow Green for 12 o'clock, you know. So on a Monday night, bear in mind when you're kind of living the life I was living, you know, you were kind of pulled in loads of different directions and you were just trying to get through the day quicker. So if somebody presented you with the option of going smoking hash, you would do it. Somebody presented you with the option of going drinking, you would probably do it just because there's nothing else to do. But now I had football. So on a Monday night, I was staying in and I wasn't going out and I was making sure I was fine for football. Went to football, felt great after it, you know, and came back and just wanted to chill out and watch the telly. So that started like behavioural changes for me and lifestyle changes. So I'm going through these training programs, again, having something to look forward to, something to do. Went to the tournament in Gothenburg, had a fantastic experience. But when I look back in reflection, what really changed, what really started to work for me, you know, it was just having that structure, you know, having somewhere to go, somewhere to be. Exercising, of course, brings natural benefits, you know, to your physical and mental health, you know, but just having that purpose. You know, I think we all need that. You know, everybody has to have purpose in their life, and that was my purpose. Went to the World Cup, had a great time, as I say, came back. The next factor happened when my support worker, the football stopped now because we'd done the World Cup and that was it finished. So I just kind of went back to what I was doing, and my support worker says, look, David, why don't you start coaching kids? Because you're quite chatty and stuff like that. You've got a good kind of football knowledge. So I started volunteering. With Moss Park Boys Club, 3 nights a week, Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. And again, that was plugging the gap for my purpose. Gave me somewhere to be, somewhere to go, something positive to do. And then what happened then, for the first time ever, for the first time that I could remember, I recognised what self-worth was. And I had that because the kids used to look up to me, the parents used to thank me after sessions. And I used to think I was nothing, you know, like, absolute, just, do you know what I mean? I was worthless, and suddenly I could see some worth in what I was doing. And actually that day, the day I started coaching kids football, was the last time I ever smoked hash or anything. Just because in my head I was like, if I'm going to do this, I need to practice what I preach and I need to, you know, be a role model. So that actually, that was the last time I ever smoked hash or anything. So I also started doing that way to college, you know, and then my life started to kind of move forward because I'd found structure and I'd found relationships, positive relationships in my life that I could use and get value from. So the coaches that I worked with, the parents, I'd got the keys to my house, you know, but before I got the keys to my house, what did I have? I had something to do, somewhere to be, and I'd support. See, if I just got my house coming for a hostel right in the house, I might not have sustained it because I didn't have all the other pieces. You know, we all need three things in life: security, relationships, and purpose. And I never had any of that. But actually, I had that when I was moving in to my house, you know, and I had that support network and people who said, do you need a hand with anything? Do you want a haunt to paint your house? Blah, blah, blah. So 2009, after spending the next few years training up as a coach, getting qualified as a community worker, I was working as a support worker during the day for the big issue. I was a youth worker in Southside of Glasgow, Govan Hill, Castlemilk and all that, doing working with Glasgow Community Safety Services. I decided that I wanted to create my own project, which was street soccer, you know, because I always felt that I was still seeing people that I was in hostels with and stuff like that doing the same stuff, you know, and I just felt very lucky that I was given that opportunity and those people came into my life at the right time. And I just felt that we need to do more, you know. So what I wanted to do is, the reason I set up street soccer was, it wasn't to end homelessness, it wasn't to end mental health, it was to tackle exclusion, because actually social exclusion creates everything. It creates mental health, it creates homelessness. So I wanted to set up something that everybody could be part of, regardless of who you were. Not just people who were experiencing homelessness. I didn't want to be badged a homeless football project. I didn't want to be badged a mental health project. So we called it Street Soccer, and it was open to all. You know, if you need us, come along. It doesn't matter who you are, what your background, you'll not be tagged. You know, we call players players, and that's it. You know, and so 2009, as I say, quit my job full time, continued to work part time with the big issue. And I got a £3,000 startup loan for Firstport, social enterprise startup. And then just started chatting doors, going around all the hostels, day projects, everywhere I could, anywhere I could find people who had nothing to do and wanted something to be part of. And before you knew it, it started to swell, you know, and it started to grow for there. Sorry, I've got slides here, but I always forget. So nobody left behind, that's why we set up. But it's true, I think, there's so many people out there who are kind of being left behind, you know, and I think if you look at problems, not just in Scotland and or challenges across the world, you know, if you look at it, actually, if you actually look into the detail of some of the troubles that face our societies and the communities, it starts with exclusion. People, if you look at London, the kind of youth crime, you know, gang culture, these are all kids who needed to identify with something and be part of something. And actually, they were left behind. So the only thing that they could become part of was something of a negative nature. And that's usually driven by criminals, you know, who are kind of getting these kids involved. These kids should be parts of social clubs. They should be part of, you know, sports clubs, you know. But sadly, we're very good at excluding people, you know. So we want to make sure that nobody is left behind. But we also wanted to create a new message for people. Because if you look at the current, how we talk about things, like just say homelessness, for example, there's a lot of well-meant kind of comms that actually create loads of damage. You know, so if you take something like, which is often heard, help the homeless. When you put the in front of homeless, what does that create? It creates us and them. You know, it's help the homeless, as if people who are homeless are different. You know, and what we've always tried to create with street soccer, and it's not good for fundraising the way we do it, because we don't pull on heartstrings and we don't try and, but actually, we believe that the comms that we create should not damage the people that we serve. You know, and if you're a charity, it shows images of hopelessness all the time. If you tell someone they're hopeless, they're going to take it on board. If you tell someone they're a champion, if you tell somebody they're a champion, they have potential, they will meet that potential and they will become a champion. You know, it's that self-fulfilled prophecy, you know, it's... Or if you're in a relationship, you know, and you can continually accuse your partner of cheating, they're going to end up cheating. You know, so it's about... For us, it's about showing the potential in people. You know, and homelessness is a problem, but the people themselves aren't, you know, and it's... We've always tried to see the best in people and try and see the potential and show that. You see the images on our website, or on our stories, it's resilience, it's strength, it's courage, because that's what you need to overcome some of the challenges that our young people and adults face in Scotland. We know the levels of poverty, you know, child poverty, and the damage that's going to have in people's lives as we go forward, and we need to tackle that. But we need to do it in a way where people believe in themselves, because if we don't believe in somebody, then how's somebody supposed to believe in themselves, you know? We all need that. Ali believed, my coach believed in me. He said that I had something, and I tried to fulfil that, you know? And it's, so for us, it's about creating the, showing the potential. And also, as going back to waking up with a goal. We all need that, whether you're a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, an employee, you know, a member of the church. Everybody has to wake up with a goal. And imagine that feeling, waking up with no goal. We know where to be. And imagine how dangerous that is. So we talk about sport, and we often talk about success and medals. And that's, yes, that's part of sport. That's how sport was created. Sport was created as a competition. But actually for us, for street soccer, sport's a way of bringing people together. It's a way of fostering relationships. It's a way of providing safe places. And there's a lot to learn in sport as well, from winning and from losing, and about how you manage things. So sport is a can be a salvation for this country, but we need to make sure that everyone can access it. You know, and I go running, and I'm not as fast as Brian was, but was, yes, I did say was. But I go running a couple of nights a week, and do you know, it's not today with my fitness, it's today with my heat. You know, it clears my head. See, when you've got difficult decisions and you're dealing with people emotionally, you know, and try to work out things all the time, you can get clogged up. There's nothing better than just going a quick run, you know, and just kind of clearing your head. Doesn't matter. Well, I'd say a run. Fast walk, slow jog, it's more like that. But this is just a quick video of one of our players, and just terms of what sport means to him. So that kind of puts it into perspective from a player, you know, it's very powerful. And it was about how it made them felt, you know, and it was all about being part of something, you know. And I think that's the thing that sometimes we miss in terms of why, there's been a lot of reports written recently, you know, about the demise of youth clubs and social spaces for people to interact, and especially young people, you know, and sport still provides that access to youth work and support and all that. And I think that's what's really important. I realise that some of the guests in the room might have to leave for the parliament, but I could talk all day, as you could probably imagine. But for me, sport's a way of kind of creating a catalyst, you know, creating a platform for people to change by bringing them together and fostering relationships and support, and having that something where you can wake up, you've got somewhere to go, somewhere to be, and access the support that you need. That's how we use sport, street soccer. And that's how many great organisations in Scotland are trying to address social exclusion. You know, and in terms of homelessness, just the end, I think there's been some great work being done. There's some great collaborations around trying to tackle homelessness, you know, and we provide that emotional support that people need. But the physical stuff still has to be addressed as well, you know, so working together is the best way to do it.
Okay. Can I thank David very much for that?